This morning, we're going to discuss something that we all know about. Sometimes when you know about things, you don't think about it as much because, hey, you know it. And you just don't concentrate on it as much, but it's still good to refresh your mind over what you already know. And what we're going to talk about today is going to be faith. Faith. Some things to remember about faith. First of all, we can go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 gives you a definition of what faith is. But I like to start out asking, not to put anybody on the spot, but just ask, get an opinion of, off the top of your head, what is a good example of faith to you? What comes to mind?
Believing without seeing.
Okay.
Trust.
Trust. Okay, that's good. Believe without seeing and trust. We see that quite often when the weatherman comes on the television and says it's going to snow and everybody runs to the store, right? They believe it without seeing it, and they trust in it as true, so they go and do something about it. Any other? I'd like to think of an example of a person fishing. You know, some of you may not know a little bit about fishing. Some of you might have, some of you might have experienced it, but basically you throw a rod or pole in the water. Some people fish with a cork, some fish, as they call it, tight line, wait until the fish grab the hook and see the line get tight and jiggling all around, and then they go to pull it, and if you got a reel, you wind it up and the fish is fighting back. And you don't see the fish, but you know something's on that line. You think it's a fish. You believe that it's a fish. Sometimes you pull it up, it's not a fish. It might be a turtle. Or it could be an eel or a snake or whatever. One of the good experiences, examples I like to use to think of a faith is flying a kite. When I was young, we used to have a little competition of flying a kite, see who can put the kite out the furthest. And we got to the point where you have your kite out there and you see your string goes up, and it was always amazing how the string goes up, and then after a while it seems like it curves one way or another. It curves, that's the wind, I guess. And if you can put it out there far enough, the kite will disappear. And someone else can come along and say, well, what are you doing? You say, I'm flying a kite, and you look up, you don't see anything. You're like, where? It's up there. And someone said, no, I don't see nothing. And you say, I'm holding the string. And you get the string, they can feel that pulling on the string. Yeah, well, something's up there. And if you wind it in, eventually you'll see it. That was a good example that I used to think of faith. But we think of faith in so many different ways, and faith resides at the core of Christianity and the Christian life. Now, while the Bible has much to say about it, faith is a challenging concept to define, simply because of the fact that it goes beyond what we see. And you have to have, as Brian brought out, you have to have trust to know. Genuine faith involves abandoning all human reliance on self-efforts and placing total dependence upon God's character, His action, and His promises, as revealed in His Word. And as we look at that definition in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some of you may have in the new, what is it, the NIV, confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. There's so many different dimensions to faith. It's like a gem or a diamond, you know, like it's when you turn it or you look at it from different perspectives, you see different lights or different faces of it. And we can talk about it for forever, but there's some things that's always going to be true about it, especially in this present day and time. As we look at faith, we have to remember that faith is not something that you're going to be able to see as something solid with your earthly eye. The same way we can't see God with our earthly eye, we do know He exists. Now, people can see faith in you by your actions and what you do. But we as humans, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, if we would trust in the Lord, and it takes a lot of faith to rely on the Lord simply because of the fact that He is a being that we cannot see. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't see God, but can you explain where the wind comes from or where does it go? You definitely feel it. So when it's hot, it feels good. When it's cold, it doesn't feel quite so good. But it's still the same wind in the summer and in the winter. The rain, we don't get enough of it, we complain and we say, Lord, I wish it would rain. We need water. If it rains too much for us, then we complain because, so much rain, I wish it would stop. Where does it come from? Who gives it? Who gives the wind? Who controls the clouds? God controls all of this, and we know that man didn't make any of it, and he cannot control any of it. But we have a belief in God by the same way from what we can see He has created and what He does. Now, we as Christians, when we get in a situation that we can't control, and we pray earnestly, we really know the definition of earnest is when it's something that is beyond our control and we want help with and we want it then. But when it's something that is not so important to us, then we pray, but it's not earnest. We don't have the same oomph in it. I know oomph is not a word, but I hope you get my gist of what I mean. It's like God can't answer the prayer quick enough when we want it. If people, they claim they don't even believe in God, don't believe in Christianity, don't believe in no religion, get them in a tight spot and the first thing they holler is, oh God, oh Lord. They say it sometimes without even realizing that they have uttered those words. Now, some people will place their faith in bank accounts. some people will put their faith in, is, as before mentioned, in the news report. If you hear it's going to snow or rain or bad weather or hurricane or whatever, you prepare for it. Or what a doctor might say. How would you react if the doctor tells you whatever ailment you have, you only have 3 months to live? So I would advise you to get your affairs in order. Nothing else we can do for you. Do you believe that? Or do you go to God and start praying, Lord, help me overcome this? Or do you pray, Lord, your will be done? If it's my time, as Jesus said, I commend myself to you. And if this is what you want me, this is what you want to happen to me, help me to do what I can before those 3 weeks are up. Because you're not just going to go out here and just do anything and everything you want to do just because you only have 3 weeks to live, if you believe that. Well, where is your faith? Do you believe that the Lord can help you? Do you believe that in 3 weeks you're just going to drop dead? Or do you believe that life will continue on for a little bit longer, or if you pray to God, you will last a little longer? How is your faith? And then you realize, what is your faith? What do you put your confidence in? What do you rely in? We know that faith begins with God because of what He shows us for us to see. And since the beginning of time, or since creation, God has been with us. And He shows us, He shows Himself to us in different ways, as I mentioned before, with the air and with the rain, and even in our lives and what we live, how He provides for us. Some people believe that I go to work every day, I make my money, I bought this, I provided this, I take care of my family. The most humbling experience you can experience is when you get to the point where that I is taken out of the equation, and then you rely on somebody else. And whether it be someone else that comes in to wash your face, whether someone that comes in to put medicine into your mouth, or whether it's someone else that allows you to wake up in the morning, even though you can't move, you still here. Your mind still works. You still have desires, but you can't do anything. But later, very humbling experience. And some people, that's what it takes to bring them to get them to realize that there is someone else greater than them. As us guys, and some women too, like to think, so I got this, I can do this, I can handle this. But when you realize that you are not in control, that's when you're ready to pay homage to God. But because God is so patient and loving, He allows for us to go through certain things so that we will turn our attentions to Him, and that we will understand and rely on Him for things and not take so many things for granted. Now, faith has always been the means of salvation also. And we say salvation, what is the meaning of salvation? Anybody want to take a stab at it? What is salvation? I mean, I know we all know.
Redemption.
Redemption.
Christ.
Redemption.
Through Christ.
When God brings us back to Himself. Right? Some people think are not Christians, hopefully. Some people think, as it's been said, when it's dead, when you're dead, it's over. You know, once you close your eyes, that's it. That's all. I don't have to worry about it. They don't believe in life after death. Sad to say, once they find out the truth, it'll be too late. But while we have opportunity, we should be carrying ourselves and moving in the direction so that we can be saved and have redemption, have salvation. Now, in the Old Testament, the covenantal bond was the believer's expression of faith. God initiated the covenant, and the believer's response in faith, actively obeying his word and trusting in the Lord to fulfill his promises. Which basically means that as God gave Moses the law for people to live by, what they had to do was keep the law, believe in God. If they live by the law and do what they were told, follow God's word, that will be their redemption. That will be their salvation. In the New Testament, we believe in Christ. What he said, and I'm not saying Christ said anything different than what God's law was. After all, this is what Christ came to earth to make more plainly, to distribute more plainly to people what God's word was. Now that Moses is gone, Christ is not here, we have the Bible itself, and it's the law and the word. That's how we should live. And if we follow that, this will bring about our salvation, our redemption. And we know we cannot follow it to the letter to be perfect, because none of us are perfect and we're going to make mistakes. But it's a guide for us to go by. This also builds our faith in God and in Christ so that we can look forward to our salvation and spend eternity with Him in heaven. And as was stated last week by Brother Tommy, we can't do enough. No matter how much, there's no way possible that we can keep to the letter of the word, no way. But if it was possible, we still couldn't do enough, because we are not perfect. And therefore, that was the purpose of Christ coming here, so that he could pay the ransom for our sins. And we have faith in him. We can't get to heaven to spend eternity with God unless we go through Christ. He is our only way. And when you think about it, even when you go into the Bible and you study the Bible, is that not Christ's word? Is that still going through Christ? This builds our faith. When we experience trials and tribulations. We have that all the time, all through life. This is supposed to make us stronger in the word and build our faith. When we accomplish one hurdle and we see God's blessing, that makes us stronger to go to God that much quicker when the next situation come up, instead of wondering, how am I going to make it through this? What am I going to do now? What's going to happen? A good example, not long ago, COVID hit. And a lot of churches shut down. Because they were given the rules that, number one, you can't meet together because you spread the germ. even though they tell you you can wear a mask, you can wear gloves, and then they say, well, to be on the safe side, let's just shut everything down. And then they said, okay, it's tolerable if you take precautions along with the mask, along with the gloves, space yourself 6 feet apart. And we did that. Some people said, I don't care what you do, I just don't trust it. I'm gonna stay at home. I'm not going out. Some didn't go to stores, although they couldn't stop going to work. But they couldn't go to stores, or they didn't go to stores. They didn't go to recreational places. They didn't go to gatherings. They didn't, as we know, didn't come to church. They didn't visit families. They didn't, if they could, they didn't go to the hospitals specifically to visit anybody, unless it was a case of emergency. They were wondering, what am I going to do now? They didn't rely on God. They didn't pray to God. They didn't think about God brought you through so much. Would he still protect you now like he protected you before? Maybe it wasn't COVID, but then we still have flu season. Then we still have chicken pox. Then we still have West Nile. Then we still have so many other, I can't think of different other diseases that was important, yes.
Swine flu.
Hepatitis, pneumonia, blah, blah, blah.
All of that.
It's all out there.
Yeah, and still is.
Still is.
Yeah.
People still want to wear masks.
People still
want to wear masks.
Want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are. This is good.
Yeah,
it's good. It's always good to take the self-preservation, self-preventive measures. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is, all this stuff was still out there before and still out there now. But as soon as COVID hit, what are we going to do now? People panicked. As one of the brothers said, people lost their mind. But, and not only that, after this, it's going to still be more stuff that's going to come. Because this is life. What happened to faith? Your faith that you had in God. If you made it through all of that we mentioned before, don't you think he would take care of you through COVID? And everything else that's going to come afterward. It's going to be a test of our faith, which is you have to actively show your faith, which faith without works doesn't really exist. But if we say that we trust in the Lord, we have to act like we trust in the Lord. And I'm not saying just don't wear no mask, or we just go and hugging up on everybody all the time. I mean, because number one, I'm like anybody else, is if you come in here barking, don't come hugging me. You know. And if I'm barking, I'm going to try my best not to be hugging on nobody else.
It's all
common sense. But people allow common sense to go out the window, and along with it, their faith went with it, you know. But we have to continue to have faith in the Lord. God initiated the covenant, and believers responded in faith, actively obeying his word and trusting in the Lord to fulfill his promise. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. When the Lord told Abraham to leave your family and go to where I will send you, where I want you to go, he got up and left. He didn't ask the Lord, where you want me to go? How long is it going to take? What do I need to carry with me? He just did it. Put his trust and faith in the Lord. And it was counted as righteousness to him. Now in the new covenant that we live under today, Jesus tells us what we should do. And yet still, we want to question it. We don't want to follow his word. We want to make up excuses. And believe me, the devil can give you plenty of excuses to use. And once we use them excuses, then we give up on the faith. Yes.
That's one of the biggest tools Satan uses to attack your faith. Does God really mean that? Did he really say that? Did he say that all the way back in Adam and Eve with the forbidden fruit?
Yeah.
Are you surely going to die? And that's what he plays today. And that's our struggle of listening to Satan or men or other people, everybody other than God.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I didn't mention that Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. That's what he did. Trust to God. Trust. Failure to trust God was at the heart of the first sin. So if you cause confusion or doubt, that's all he wants to cause is doubt. Just a little bit of doubt, like a little bit of leaven, a little bit of doubt, and we'll throw you off course. But we have to be sure and be steadfast in our faith. And what we go through these days, the trials, tribulations, obstacles, that is to help us build our faith and to make us stronger in what we go through and what we believe, so that we can be ready for the next obstacle that we come upon. Is it really an obstacle? If something happens to you, right away you can figure out what to do. It may be an inconvenience, but is it really an obstacle? So you go out here, you're ready to go home, church is over, get in your car, you pull off, and boom, you got a flat tire. What do you do?
Change the tire.
It's an inconvenience, but is it really an obstacle? Because you come up with that right away. You know, some of us might have to get out, like me, and get the jack out and do it. And some of us can have convenience of calling AAA, they come and change it for you, or whatever. It's not an obstacle, because you know what to do. If something happens, and right now my mind won't come to this, nothing right quick, but something happens that you don't know what to do, it's out of your hands, it's out of your control, that's an obstacle. You don't know what to do. Always, what's the first thing you do? Pray. If you don't know what to do, you don't know how to go about it, first thing you do is pray. Lord, help. Two words. Lord, help. That's a prayer. And the Lord said, be still and know. So if you be still, you pray, he's going to send some help to you. He's going to come in your mouth. Okay, I need to call this person. Well, I need to call that. I need to do this. In some cases, I don't know if you ever experienced that, but in some cases, a woman has a flat tire. She don't know how to change the tire. She'll open up the trunk, take out the jack, take out the spare tire. Some guy going to stop. You need some help. The Lord going to send somebody. You know, or she may pray to open up the trunk, or just pray. Somebody will stop and say, you all right? Somebody that they may know, maybe another Christian brother or whatever. Typical is not typical, an experience that actually happened. I had a truck, and I can't remember what I was doing to carry something for somebody. My truck stopped right over here in this, when you go to the end of the street, this store that was over here, stopped right in this door. And I couldn't make it start to save my life. I didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, help me with this. I don't know what to do. The one 5 minutes later, some of you may remember him, Johnny Thomas, came through. He said, "Man, you all right?" I said, "No, I can't get this truck to start." He went up under the hood, and I don't know what it was, but something about a vacuum. And all he did was take the cap off of my tires and put it on top of this little vacuum. Truck started right up. I didn't know what to do. It was an obstacle. But the Lord sent him, and I will always believe the Lord sent him at that time. Yes.
Just Thursday. Come all the way over here, and we're running out of town because Bill's decorated and getting ready for the wedding and the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. My keys are in the house. Who pulled up? We're trying to figure out what we're going to do, and who's going to get him over here, and we're running out of time, and he just happened to stop by.
Yeah. Just happened. The Lord sent me. But when you first think, pray, the Lord do the rest. And it may not be as fast as you want it to be. It may be a little inconvenient. But he's going to make a way. And you're going to come out of it. That builds your faith. Because next time when you run into a situation, you know what the first thing to do. And then you pray with earnest. You know, the first time you just prayed, now you're going to pray with more earnestness. I think that's the word, earnestness. But you're going to put a little more oomph into it. Lord, I really need you now. Help me. Yes.
I was getting ready for work one day, and I ran out and got in the car, and my car wouldn't start. And I'm like, I don't even know who to call. Mm-hmm. I was just sitting there, and I started praying. It's like, Lord, just start it one more time, I'll go get a battery or something. And I sat there a few minutes and it started, and I went over to the auto place and I told them, they're like, "What's the problem?" I said, "My battery's dead." They're like, "Well, it can't be dead or you wouldn't be here." Mm-hmm. So he went out and checked it, and he said, "You're right, your battery's totally dead." So they put a new battery in.
Grace of God.
So,
yeah. That increased your faith in
it?
But we sometimes forget, you know, because It's like your little toe. You use it every day, but you don't think about it until you hit it. Once you hit it, and why is it that once you hit it, then it seems like you just keep on hitting it? You know, I never knew how many times I walked past this bedpost until I hit it that one time, and now every time I come back, and then I start walking out from it a little bit further, you know. But that little toe was very important after that. It strengthens your faith. And sometimes I think maybe the Lord does things to make us rely on our faith a little bit more so we can increase it and be stronger with it. Now, a few scriptures to show some benefits of what the results of faith can do. Jesus makes his home in our hearts through faith. That's found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. We receive forgiveness of sins. That's found in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. God's protection and power is found in 1 Peter 1, verse 5. All this is the result of having faith. A new life in Jesus, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We are granted victory over death and eternal life, John chapter 3:16. The Bible plainly teaches that faith is not just a mental attitude. James explains that saving faith is revealed in a person's actions. He writes, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" James chapter 2, verse 14. So we have to have action with our faith, because if we know faith without works is dead. But it not only helps us, it encourages our other brothers and sisters that see us. It encourages those that don't know about God and Christ. If they can see you and the way in which you carry yourself and what you do, and especially if it's something out of the ordinary, and they're like, why you do that? I wouldn't have did it. It'll stick in their mind. Even if they catch somebody, I know this guy, he did such and such this thing. I wouldn't have did it, but he did it. Well, he go to church anyway. Great. That's one thing you know about me. And I'm like that all the time. Hopefully you'll see that. The biblical concept of faith includes believing that God exists and that he is wholly trustworthy, so much so that we base our lives on him and his word, doing what he says no matter what our physical eyes tell us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we obtain the victory that has overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. And remembering and trying to keep in our minds about our faith and not let it just be something that kind of we draw on it when we need it. It's not like a savings account where you're just letting it pile up. And then when I need faith, when something going wrong, one of my family members gets sick, or if I hurt my hand, I believe that God's going to heal me, or God's going to make them well. You can't just go and draw on it like that. Faith is something that you have to use every day and keep in mind of what it is and who gives it. And it will help us as we go through life, and especially when the devil tries it, which he always is, trying to throw us off course and make us give up on things, or make us confused when certain things happen in the world. And we stand there, what are we going to do now? What's going to happen then? We're going to turn to God. Because we have to keep in mind, as long as we live on this earth, everything is a test. And how we go about it and how we deal with it is what's going to determine the outcome. So I hope this helps a little bit today to help encourage you to remember a little bit more about faith and help strengthen your faith as we go from day to day and go through stuff. Let's go to God in prayer. Got another minute. Oh Lord, we come before you at this time. We thank you for allowing us to come out and study a portion of your word. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have the opportunity to stand before and with my brothers and sisters here this morning, as you speak to me as well as you speak to them, and things that we need to hold dear to our heart, and help us to govern ourselves and to carry ourselves in a manner that would be pleasing in your sight. We pray, Lord, that we continue to hold fast to your word. We continue to trust in you. We continue to look to you for which cometh our help. Forgive us for our shortcomings, and we thank you so very much for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.